Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's Afternoon Satsang. This is Preem from Team Radio Sai, and as always, joining you live from our studios in Prashanthi Nilayam. As always, we begin by offering our most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. I did not say that Brother Arvind is with me, as always, as we generally say, because today he is not with me, but with me is another member of Team Radio Sai, who is not new to any of you. I have with me Brother Ganesh, who primarily works with the Telugu team. But of course, he's been on Afternoon Satsang before, and so very glad to have him on the show. And in fact, I'm going to do it with him. Before I invite Ganesh to join all of us, this is a very poignant week in Prashanthi Nilayam, and much of our discussion today is going to be based on the events which are lined up for this week. It's a very, very historical moment, because this weekend, the 22nd of July, we celebrate 50 years since Swami's educational mission took off with the inauguration of the women's campus. What is today the women's campus? What was then the Arts and Science College for Women at Anantapur? And we are celebrating 50 years of that occasion this week. As Guru Purnima comes next week, it is also 50 years since Swami made that first and only visit outside of India. That is his visit to East Africa that happened in the July of 1968. In fact, Swami celebrated Guru Purnima in a first time ever out of the country, out of Prashanthi Nilayam in East Africa. It was not a scheduled celebration because of the overwhelming response that Swami received and the prayers that Swami received for Swami to extend his stay. That's how Swami extended his stay, celebrated Guru Purnima there, and then came back. And once he came back, the inauguration of the college was lined up. But before we talk about all of that, and there's some very, very interesting stories to go with that, let's invite Brother Ganesh to join all of us. Sairam Ganesh.
Sairam Prem, Sairam dear listeners.
Whenever we talk about institutions of Swami, and we are sitting in an institution of Swami. In fact, when I say an institution, it's not just Radio Sai, but it's Prashanthi Nilayam itself. It's truly overwhelming how much time and energy Swami has spent into building what he has built. One thing is to look at Swami as a divine personage, which he definitely is, and nothing of what he does can be looked at, keeping aside that fact. But even otherwise, the very fact that Swami meticulously spent time, spent enormous amounts of energy, did not spare any efforts to build each and every organization. I still recall the words of Professor Habu, who was one of the first few principals of the school here. And every time he speaks about the school, he would always make it a point to say this. He would say, Swami built the school brick by brick. And when I say brick by brick, I mean it.
Yes.
Right? Because he would say that every aspect of the school Swami looked into, starting from admissions to the playground, to the dining hall, to what was being cooked there, what was being served there, what was being taught in the school, who was teaching, how was it being taught, the assembly, what was going into the assembly, everything. It changed over a period of time, but every change was involving Swami and what Swami wanted. So I think it is in that capacity, I think I've asked Ganesh to join all of us. Because, dear listeners, I think in the past few months particularly, the Telugu team has had the opportunity to travel a lot in the heartland of Andhra Pradesh, meeting a lot of old devotees whom Swami brought into his fold by going and visiting them literally, because Swami traveled to many of these villages painstakingly by road, spent days and days, multiple visits over many years. Swami gave multiple discourses, and these were all very, very ordinary folk whom Swami spent time with, stayed in their houses, dined with them, and literally this was the base for Swami's organization. It was very, very fascinating what we learned from them, because it showed us a glimpse of the human side of Swami, the simplicity of Swami, and how his divinity was not in the outside, but it was actually hidden in the simplicity and humanity that Swami displayed. And I think that's what we'd like to share with you. I've spoken a lot in the introduction. That's because I'm not going to speak much after this. I'm going to have Ganesh to have a lot of stories to tell us. So Ganesh, I think we should start with the occasion, which is, you know, we are heading towards, which is the
Golden Jubilee celebration,
Anantapur College. Mm. So just a glimpse of what is that special program that you're doing for the Golden Jubilee on Telugu Radio, and then we'll take it from there.
Actually, we are planning for a four-part series covering the entire genesis of the Anantapur campus, the people, variety of people who were involved in the construction of the college building, the campus, the hostel, the library, and the Sevadal who were part of that team, and various alumni from different batches, especially from the first batch after launching the building.
Okay.
It was 1971 batch. And how personally Swami guided each one of them, and the innumerable number of experiences that the students and the staff had, the guidelines that Swami laid down for both the teachers as well as the students, what was his expectation out of the college, and all such kind of things. It's a four-part series. It starts from tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock. 3 to 4 is one episode. Then evening after bhajans, from 7 onwards, it takes almost 2 hours for the second episode, which involves the celebration that happened on 8th of July this month, 8th of July, where all the alumni...
I think in the campus, Anantapur
in the campus, yes.
Many alumni had congregated to celebrate the 50th year.
Yes. So they had a very special function, get together. It's like a very, all the old students got together, very lovely moment. And next morning, on the 21st, we are having a special show only on the 1971 year when the construction finished and Swami inaugurated the building. So that is a single episode by itself. And after the proceedings in the Sai Kulwant Hall, where all the Anantapur alumni, over 2,000 of them, I think, they are celebrating the grand occasion. After that, in the studio, we're having a series of live conversations with alumni, current teachers, students, and various other non-staff members also. So to give a whole picture of what exactly went into Anantapur campus, the effort that Swami had personally, painstakingly taken to build, as you were telling Prem, brick by brick, every inch is suffused with Swami's love. In Anantapur campus, when our team had visited there, one of our sisters, she could just feel Swami's divine vibrations. That was the first time she was entering the campus.
Right. Starting from the staff in the kitchen to the staff in the, the administrative staff in the campus, everybody had their own story to narrate in that sense. So, and I think it's going to be very, very beautiful, dear listeners. If you follow Telugu, I think you should not miss that broadcast. I think it's on the Telugu stream from tomorrow onwards. 21st onwards.
Tomorrow it starts.
Right, it starts tomorrow. That's the 20th. Just to give an idea, if people are confused about it, Swami started the college in 1968, 22nd of July. Mm. That was even before there was a building, a proper building under which the college could function. Mm. That's how Swami started off, as Swami always starts. In fact, the college in Prashantinilam started in Ishwarama School. Before the building was built here. Mm. And same is the case with the campus in Brindavan also.
Brindavan.
Because they used to have a shed in which it used to function as a hostel as well as a college.
Mm.
So all of Swami's institutions begin like that. So I think on 22nd of July 1968, officially the college was inaugurated, and the 8th of July 1971, that was when the college building was inaugurated, and it was for that the President of India, then President of India, V.V. Giri, was the chief guest. In fact, there is a video, the Thursday Darshan video that we have posted today is of that occasion. I mean, you just have to see that to understand Swami's involvement.
Yes.
You know, just quoting something absolutely off the thing, what Dr. Iyer, who works in the super specialty hospital, he was saying that when he joined, you know, he had no clue about Swami. He just heard that there is a hospital here and there is a you know, vacancy here. That's how he came and joined.
Mm.
And somebody told him, you know, you've cleared all the interview and all that. You can go and sit in the mandir, and you know, Swami will come and speak to you, and that will be the final, you know, finalization of your appointment.
Appointment.
So he was sitting there, and apparently that day there were some dignitaries who had come. So Swami was in the interview room for an extended time. So Swami came a little late, and then Swami comes up to him and Swami says, I'm really sorry I made you waiting, kept you waiting for so long. And Swami started explaining, you know, I had these people, I had to speak to them and all that. And he says, you know, for a minute he was thinking, I am joining Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. And this is Satya Sai. Right? You know, he was saying the enormity of who Swami was in the context of an employee joining the organization. He said, this is Satya Sai. I mean, he's the person who is going to be my boss, and he's coming and explaining to me, I'm sorry I made you wait. Right? That you can see in that video. I'm saying that because that video not only captures the moment when the ribbon was being cut, but Swami going around and supervising the the readiness of the preparations before the chief guest
chief
comes.
Chief guest comes, yeah.
Swami's going up and down, going all over the place and seeing. And I think we should take it from there. I mean, I think you were telling a very interesting story of how the idea for the college came. We should start from
this
there.
This is very, very interesting because Swami's plans are so mysterious that we don't know how it unfurls. And the first idea of this campus, actually Swami tells in the discourse which he gave in 1968 during the inauguration opening, that this idea I had when I came to the anniversary celebration of the girls' college. So in 1964, Swami was invited to the anniversary of the girls' college. So that time
this
itself,
was in
1964 in Anantapur.
In Anantapur.
In Anantapur.
Okay.
And those days Swami used to visit a lot to Anantapur. And 1966-67, this is now not Swami, and this is one more group of people. All the oil mill owners in Anantapur, around 1966-67, those years, they all made a committee of around 10 people.
Okay.
They all had a plan of constructing a medical college in Anantapur. So they all pooled up money, and it totaled up to around 10 lakhs. In those days. So that was the amount they had for launching the construction of the medical college. So they approached the government officials, then various political parties, and nobody was agreeing for this idea. So one of the group members, his name was, I think, Pattabhi. He supposed to be, he happened to be a Swami's devotee.
Okay.
So he told to the group members, why not we approach Satya Sai Baba in Puttaparthi? He might help us. So they all other people thought Satya Sai Baba is one more person who gives vibhuti. What can he do with this construction? So that was their mindset. So with that sort of idea, they went and approached Swami. And in that group, there are two very senior devotees of Swami who are very revered in these days, till these days. One is Sri Ashwat Narayan Garu, and the other person is Sri Jwalani Garu. Sri Jwalani Garu happened to leave his mortal coil recently.
Very recently.
On July 7th. These two were the very key role they played in the construction of the Anantapur campus. So when they approached Swami, Swami told, they gave those 10 lakhs to Swami and asked, Swami, we need a medical college in Anantapur. Can you please take this money and construct it? And Swami laughed at it, and he told, I don't need any money. I will myself do it. And when this conversation was going on, the Raja of Travancore was present with Swami.
Okay.
Then he came forward and told, Swami, you please don't worry about the funds for this. I'll take care of the monetary aspect. So then that was how the idea came up.
Okay.
So then Swami was making preparations. Then this entire group had gone back to Anantapur, searched for land, and the things were being planned. But in the course of events, there was one politician by name Nagaraju who was putting a hurdle for this entire project.
Okay.
He thought, see, the medical students nowadays are not having any opportunities, job opportunities. It's a waste of money to construct a medical college. So then they all had to take back the idea. And Swami also did not speak anything after that. So after 5 months of lull period, And Swami called back this Ashwath Narayan Garu and Jwalanaya Garu. It's very interesting because once Swami gives a word, it's impossible for him to take back.
Right.
So that's an example. This is a very beautiful example for that. Swami calls him and tells, see, I have given you a word that I'll construct a college. So I have to do it immediately. So then Swami tells, see, there is a, what is it, a dispute that they should not construct a medical college.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody will object when we try to construct a college for women.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take up that task. And this was how the idea of Anantapur campus, the women's campus, started.
Okay.
And then personally Swami told Ashwath Narayan Garu and Jwalanaya Garu to go and search for a proper land.
Mm-hmm.
So then both of them go, they search in the entire town of Anantapur and they find one land that is very, very close to those days there was an engineering college in Anantapur.
Mm-hmm.
So they go and 5 acres of land they find. So they come back to Swami and show them the plan. And then Swami comes and tells, see, there is an engineering college near to this area and we are planning to construct a women's college. I think it will be a hindrance to the girls who will be studying in the college. If there are some strikes and all those, it will be very inconvenient for them. Then Swami put down that idea and he told them search for some other land. So they went back, they searched and found the piece of land where now the campus is established, the 28 acres of land. Ashwath Narayan Garu and Jwalanaya Garu, they found this piece and they bought the land with Swami's permission for 4,000 rupees per acre.
Mm-hmm.
That summed up to 1,12,000 rupees for the entire area to be bought. And proper registration, everything was done. And Swami personally, every week, he used to come to Anantapur to monitor what was happening. And when we were interviewing Ashwath Narayan Garu, he was telling, sir, we had nothing to do because everything single-handedly Swami was managing. Means the amount of the enormity of work that was going on and the administrative capability of Swami and the personal interest that Swami took. And this was how the idea and the concept of this campus came up, Prem.
Beautiful. I mean, I think this is one angle which not many of us are aware of, that it started off as a medical college.
Mm.
But the beautiful thing, as you were saying, 1964 when Swami visited, the reason why Swami was quoting that was, you know, it was not an accident that it was a women's college.
Mm.
It was always meant to be a women's college.
A plan.
Right? In fact, there's another beautiful angle to that, which when you were speaking to Mr. Nagaraj,
mm.
Again from a family which is has a very long association with Swami,
mm.
the family of Mr. Chidambaraya. Swami visited their house, I think, in the 40s.
Yes.
That itself is a fascinating story. Swami goes, that was a Swami who was not yet wearing a robe.
Mm-hmm.
So he was wearing a, you know, half sleeve shirt and a dhoti, and they take him in a coal bus. And because he's a special person, he's given a first class seat. And he was saying a first class seat means you sit as far away from the steam engine as possible, you know, so that you don't get black because mm-hmm. of the coal. So that's how he goes, and you know, that it's a family which has a very long association. So when this Anantapur College was going on, he was also one of the people involved. He was a very young person then.
Mm.
One of the people who were going about with the land dealings and all that, and he was saying, I think the name of the person who sold the land was one Tippa Reddy.
Mm. Mm.
So Swami had given them 10,000 rupees, mm. and Swami asked them to go and pay him the advance.
Okay.
So this person was a very pious man, but he was not devoted to Swami and all that. So
yeah.
when they went and gave this 10,000 rupees to this person,
mm.
and very hesitantly this man asked these devotees of Swami, he said, sir, this money will not vanish tomorrow now. He said, you know, because they say all kinds of things about Swamis and Swamis' materializations, this money is coming from Swami, will it stay? You know, I don't know about what happened to that person, but I'm sure that that 10,000 rupees would have multiplied.
But,
I mean, think about 10,000 rupees vanishing, that college 50 years, it's still standing, you know. Nothing that Swami has touched actually goes without making its mark.
Mm.
So he was saying that, you know, that was how they bought the land with that advance. And then Swami personally went for the registration. Because I think they did the registration and Swami was waiting for them to get the thing done.
Mm.
So immediately after everything was over, Swami wanted to go and see the land.
Mm.
So Swami went there. I mean, it's a barren land, 27 acres, nothing is there. So somewhere they got a chair from. He said it was a rusted metal chair. We put it there and Swami sat and they all sat around Swami. And then Swami started explaining. And Swami said, see, the mother's womb is actually the Brahmaloka. Swami said, because all of you are created there. You know, that is where the creation takes place. So that is the Brahmaloka. And Swami said, that is the center of compassion, Swami said. Because everybody receives their first love and first compassion over there. And he said, if a mother is taught the right things, if a mother is educated in the right way, it will automatically reach the children. So Swami said, that is my vision. I want to educate the mothers of tomorrow and we have to send them to the world. These mothers who have been educated in the right manner. So that was Swami's vision, you know, when he was talking about the women's college. And I mean, 50 years to think of it, the first batch students will be grandmothers now.
Grandmothers.
I mean, it's a really beautiful journey. And in fact, this whole thing happened so secretively, literally, or so, you know, unassumingly. I think even Mother Isharama did not have an idea that Swami was doing something so big.
Because she also had a beautiful wish that Swami had to build something for girl children. That was way back in 1968 when Swami had visited East Africa.
Right.
During that visit, I think Swami put up Isharama Garu in Mr. Jawa's house.
Right.
And I think Mrs. Rani Jawa had shared this experience.
Yeah, we play that. Actually, Mr. Jawa, again, is a very, very great devotee of Swami. The Joy Ice Cream, which till very, very recently, I think Swami used to always distribute, that was owned by Mr. Jawa. And he was actually one of the very, very big industrialists in those days. In fact, Ms. Rani Jawa was saying that much of the, you know, Swami used to travel a lot by flight. And he was the person who used to take care of Swami. And, you know, he ensured that Swami got the respect that is due for Swami wherever he traveled, you know, whichever airlines he traveled. So when Swami was going to East Africa, Swami said, you know, what will you come all the way there? And we know all that, you know, stories of Madheshwarama's innocence. The beautiful incident that Kasturi Garu narrates where she tells Swami that, hey, it seems there are a lot of man-eaters there and lions there. And our Swami is looking so tender and you're taking him there. And Professor Kasturi says, Ma, don't you know that Swami is God? What will happen to him? And Madheshwarama says,
first of all, he's my son.
She says, you know he's God, I know he's God.
The animals don't know.
The animals know that he's God. What if they eat him up? So I think Swami thought it's best to leave her back in India. And Swami actually left her with the family of Mr. Jawa. Swami told he will take good care of you. And I think that was also the reason why Swami did not take Mr. Jawa with him on that trip.
Yes.
Swami said, you stay back and take care of mother. And so we'll play that small clip. I think it's a very tiny 1 minute or 2 minute clip where Miss Rani Jawa, the daughter of Mr. Jawa, she narrates how this idea of a women's college came to Mother Isharama's mind.
In 1968, when Swami went to Africa, he had left Amma at a house in Bombay. So that was the time where I got a chance to speak to Swami on the phone because he called his mother from there. And actually she was not sending him because Swami had curly hair. So she was very scared, you know, that Africans also have curly hair, Swami's dark, you know, he'll get lost. So she wanted my father to go. And Swami said, no, no, who will take care of you in India? I'll let Indubai come with me and let Jawa stay here and you stay in Jawa's house. So she stayed with us. And that time she saw we were five sisters and one brother. Then she realized that, you know, girls should be educated. And she decided that the Anandpur College had to come in. So the first thing she asked Swami at the airport when Swami came back, she told him, I want a promise from you that girls should be educated.
How do you think that she realized that by living in your house, your sisters were going to college?
Yeah, and we were all girls, only one boy. So she saw that, you know, we were, all of us were being educated and all that. And it's a difference having education background. So she told Swami, we don't have any college here in our place. So the girls must be educated. And she has been my backbone. actually. When she was staying in our house, she really taught me a lot of things. We had a translator. One of our workers was a Telugu person and he used to translate everything. So when Swami came, first promise he gave his mother that, yes, I will put up a college in Anandpur. And he gave the job to my father to see for the land and everything. And then that's how the Anandpur College came.
Right, so that was the clip. In fact, interesting timeline is Swami comes back, I think, on the 8th or 9th of July that year. So which means less than a fortnight later was the inauguration of the campus. So definitely a lot of groundwork has gone in the background. And if Mother Ishwarama did not know, then it's you can understand how secretively it happened. So I think we'll take a quick break here. Dear listeners, don't go away, because we just at the inauguration of the college. The way the college was built is also a very fascinating story. We'll come back to all of that after the short break. So don't go away. Welcome back, dear listeners. We're talking about the incidents of 1968 July, the Golden Jubilee of which we are celebrating. We're talking about the inauguration of the Anandpur College, and we had this beautiful narration by Ganesh, who was saying how it was actually meant, or it was always meant to be a women's college, but it started off as a medical college. But Swami had his own ways of manipulating it to make it what he wanted to, because the spiritual idea behind why Swami wanted to start a women's college, and that was the first campus, even before the men's college was started. I think it started 1 year later. Mm. Swami was very, very clear, when you have a good idea, you have to put it where it's most fertile. Mm. And Swami knew it. You know, if you're having spirituality, you want spirituality to spread in the society, you have to give it to the mother. Mm. You know, as they always say, you educate a mother, you educate a family. Mm. You educate a mother with spiritual knowledge and you educate a family with spiritual knowledge. I think Swami's idea was very, very clear and profound in that sense.
And when you are telling this, Prem, when we were interacting with the first batch of the 1971 students,
mm-hmm.
Two of them, one was Mrs. Shakuntala and one was Mrs. Suryakantam.
Okay.
They were like, they enjoyed Swami's proximity to the brim. We never even believed that such kind of time Swami had spent with all of them, personally teaching each one of them how to behave.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one of the beautiful episodes that it's so striking in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Swami used to crack a lot of jokes with all these first batch students.
Okay.
So they used to roll laughing. They used to take their saris and stuff it in their mouth to control their laughter.
Okay.
So they're laughing loud.
Mm.
Then once what happened, I think it was in Prashantralayam.
Mm.
Swami asked all these, there were a group of I think 5 to 6 girls.
Mm.
You're all laughing so loudly. Do you want to see bridegrooms, brides?
Mm-hmm.
And they were all like wondering, yeah, mm-hmm. Swami will show something interesting.
Mm.
So Swami came upstairs.
Mm.
So Swami, they all followed Swami. So as soon as Swami entered his room upstairs, there were 5 boy students.
Mm.
As soon as they saw the girl students entering, all of them put their head down. They stood up. They walked to the other end of the room. And they were just standing silently with pin drop silence. They were not even looking at Swami. So then Swami pointed towards all these 5 boys and told, "Did you see the brides? See how they are behaving. If the boys are able to behave in such a decent manner, what is the problem for you to smile softly? It's a very, very bad habit to laugh loudly."
Mm-hmm.
Means when Swami wants to convey something, see, even in a such a jovial mood, Swami wants to convey that message so strongly that till date, they don't even forget whenever they are laughing. When I personally went to them, I could see the same expression on their face. Mm-hmm. They were covering their mouth with the sari and then very softly smiling. Means it's a eye-opener for all of us, Prem, actually, how Swami teaches.
Right, absolutely. And so many batches, you know, so some were fortunate to get it directly from Swami. In fact, some of the first few batches of the men's campus also would say that every month they had to go up to Swami in a line and give him a list of things in which they've spent their money. Basically their monthly budget.
Mm.
And Swami would ask, you know, how did you use up one bottle of coconut oil in one month? Swami will remember that I saw coconut oil last month in your thing. And it's, you know, to that detail. So Swami was sensitizing them about, you know, Swami was saying that, see, this is your parents' money.
Mm.
You should be very careful. I am responsible to them. I have told them that I'll bring you up. You know, not only was Swami infusing values into them,
mm-hmm.
but Swami knew that bringing himself into the picture was the best way to convey that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at some point, if you say that, oh, you do it for your parents, you do it for so-and-so, do it for so, you know, all of these reasons might fall away.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment you bring Swami into the picture and say that, do it for Swami, I think it, even if Swami is physically not in front of you, you know, that reason still stands.
Yes.
And you can see that in all of these students.
Mm. And now coming back to the, once the opening was done in the old, the college, mm-hmm. girls college,
mm-hmm.
where the temporary classes were being held.
Right.
The next step was the foundation stone for the permanent buildings. Then that was in 1969, November 7th,
okay.
Swami laid the foundation for the permanent buildings where currently the campus is located.
Mm.
There was a very beautiful incident of Mrs. Professor Hemalata. She narrates this. Her husband was the first Telugu lecturer in Swami's Anantapur Arts and Science College.
I think she joined in August of 68.
August of 1968 she joined. And 1969, when the foundation stone was being laid, Swami called her husband. He gave him a stone and told him to go to the middle of the road. And from there, Swami, he's a 6-footer for the information of all the listeners and huge personality. So he asked him to throw the stone as far as he could with all his strength. So when the stone was thrown, Swami found out that point, and from there Swami started the construction of the building. So everybody was wondering why Swami is doing this. And Swami explained to all of them who were present there, especially to Professor Hemlata, told, see, when girl students are studying here, they should not be troubled by any strikes, because this Rayalaseema area was a very, very, very known for all these strikes and all confusions, chaos. So Swami was very particular that girl students should not be troubled or inconvenienced by all these strikes. That was how Swami had a plan for the construction of the building. So that was a very beautiful lesson for all of us.
Right. And as you were telling a while ago, I mean, Swami did not buy the land and come away, or Swami did not do the foundation stone laying and come away. He visited almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, many of the devotees who came to Swami in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
their narration would invariably involve Swami's visits to Anantapur.
Yes.
They would say, we came here and Swami was not here because Swami had gone to Anantapur. Or we were coming and we saw Swami on the way because he was going to Anantapur. Or they would say that we got the news and we straight away went to Anantapur. All of these, you know, because every week almost Swami would go.
Every week. Mm-hmm.
And knowing Swami, even the little interaction that we've had, Swami would do this even for something as small as a convocation drama or a drama in front of Swami. You have to show progress to Swami every time Swami comes.
Every time, yes.
You know, he'll ask, okay, what more have you written? What more? Have you composed another song? Have you stitched another costume? Swami will keep people on their toes. And literally, that's what Swami was doing. Swami would visit every now and then. In fact, Mr. Nagaraj was narrating one incident where I think one of the buildings was being made. The structure had come up. The roof had not yet been laid. So it was open. So Swami walks in and Swami said, open chedaniki ochanu, already open ga unde. Swami said, I came to open the college and it's already open on top. So it's like, and there are some very, very beautiful photos of Swami setting up the library of the college. Swami going up and down as you can see the construction work happening in the background. So literally every week Swami would go.
In 1969, I think the then education minister was called for the foundation stone ceremony.
Okay.
And then interestingly, the chief engineer who was in charge of the entire construction was Sri B. Srinivas Rao Garu, who happened to be father of Sri Raman Rao Garu.
Okay.
Actually, he was not a devotee of Swami till 1968.
Mm-hmm.
1966-67, Raman Rao Garu had come to Swami as a communist who had no belief in God at all. And because of Swami's love, he had got transformed, and he wanted to serve Swami till the end of his life, which he did. And he happened to get his father because his mother was not feeling well. He was a Balaji devotee, and he had firm faith in Lord Venkateshwara. So when when Raman Rao sir invited his father and mother to come to Swami, he hesitated. See, why are you good that you have not become a communist, but why are you going behind Babas like this? So then, but Raman Rao sir insists that his father and mother should come to Parthi and have Swami's darshan. So they come, they get conquered, and Swami is very, very happy with Sri Srinivas Rao Garu, and he was a very, very reputed engineer in Andhra at that time. He was taking care of the construction of all the oil mills in and around Kakinada, that coastal area. So a very reputed engineer. So he appointed him as the chief engineer for the entire construction. See how Swami plans each and every aspect of the construction as well as the coming up of the institute. So this was some details about 68 to 69. Now comes the 71 aspect, where the actual inauguration of the new buildings had taken place.
Right.
So Swami had invited Sri V.V. Giri Garu and Srimati Saraswati Giri for the inauguration. And there is a very beautiful story, Prem. There is one Mr. Appai Reddy.
Okay.
He's an old devotee of Swami from the 60s. He is now staying in Bangalore. We happened to interview him recently. See how this was all planned by Swami. The thought of making a program for Golden Jubilee was never there in our mind.
Okay.
This interview was done way back in, I think, in April or something. And we planned for this program in June first week,
mm-hmm.
this live program which is going to come up tomorrow.
Right.
So then, in the course of his interview, he told, sir, in 1968, Swami called, I approached Swami and told, Swami, your college is there, no, in Anantapur. I want to do some electrical work for your college. Please okay. give me permission. And so, that time it was a very small building.
Mm-hmm.
Swami, by the way, for the information of all the listeners, the college in 1968 started with 125 students.
Oh.
So, that was the number, mm-hmm. the first batch. So, then Swami told, why are you worrying? I'll give you a bigger chance. So, then 1971, a few days before the inauguration of the building, Swami had sent word to Appai Reddy Garu, who was staying in Bangalore city, to come to Brindavan. So he comes to Brindavan. Ramabrahman Garu was waiting at the doorstep of Brindavan
mm-hmm.
to give him some important, very important work. So Appai Reddy Garu comes and he sees 5 buses lined up in front of the ashram.
Okay.
And then he approaches Ramabrahman Garu and told, sir, why was I called? So Ramabrahman Garu tells, see, Swami has given you a very important job to do. Swami is opening a campus in Anantapur.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take all these 5 buses to Anantapur. So he thought there are some dignitaries, elders to be transported to Anantapur. So for his astonishment, he goes and sees in all the buses, the buses are full of material for distribution, mm-hmm. like clothes, rugs, all kinds of material
okay.
for the grand event. So he is wonderstruck and he comes back and asks Ramabrahman Garu, sir, what should I do with all this? No, Swami personally appointed you to take care of all these material to be brought to Anantapur.
Mm-hmm.
So that is your job. So he was given 5 drivers to take these buses. So, on the way to Anantapur, they have their lunch in Bagepalli. The octroi people, they stop him for checking.
I don't know if the younger listeners will be aware of that. Earlier, there used to be a tax. When you go from one state to the other. It is called the octroi tax. Mm. At the border, you'll be stopped and see, especially if you're taking some consignment.
Mm. So, then they stop these 5 buses and they ask, what are these 5 buses for? Then this man, Appai Reddy Garu, leaves his slippers, comes down and he tells, see, Satya Sai Baba Garu is inaugurating a college in coming few days.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are taking some material for distribution. Then they all very respectfully, they too leave their slippers. They do namaskar for the convoy of buses and they leave them. And he was like wondering, how come they know Swami so well? So, the respect that Swami is receiving there. So, he goes to he reaches Anantapur. Swami, by the time he was in a tour of that Anantapur town, he had gone out for some work. So, as soon as Swami enters the place, all these 5 drivers and Appai Reddy Garu are standing in a line. Swami gets down the car and he rushes towards Appai Reddy Garu and hugs him. Oh, when did you come, Appai Reddy? When did you come? Was the journey safe? Did you get all the material? Did you have food? And Swami takes all the 5 drivers and Appai Reddy Garu to have lunch. So after the lunch gets over, Swami takes Appai Reddy Garu to a big go-down kind of thing, where all these materials are stacked up. He tells, see, you are in charge of this place and you have to ensure that no item moves out of here until my permission is there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very overwhelmed by what Swami is doing. And he told, food will come for you time to time. So, you need not move from this place. So, 3 days prior to the actual function, Swami comes to him. And he is an old devotee and he has some kind of like, an idea of what Swami does during festivals and openings, grand ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks, yeah, Swami, I think he should create something on this occasion. See the thought process. At least for the thought of that devotee, Swami would have done this year. So, Swami comes to him, told Appai Reddy, day after tomorrow opening is there. So we should do something. And then Swami creates a golden scissor.
Of all things, a golden scissor for the ribbon cutting. Okay.
Swami calls him and tells, see Appai Reddy, go and get a plate. So he gets a very beautiful plate, puts a nice cloth on that. Then Swami puts the scissor. Then the next step is Swami waves his hand and creates two diamond earrings for Mrs. Saraswati Girigaru.
Mm-hmm.
He tells, keep these two very carefully on the day of opening, ribbon cutting. See, the ribbon will be tied. On the other side of the ribbon, you should stand with the plate and stretch your hand forward and give the scissor. So the VIP will take the scissor, cut it, and then we have to give the diamond earrings.
Mm-hmm.
So this was how Swami planned the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
He tells like so much of love Swami is telling. I'm such a insignificant person in such huge gathering of devotees that Swami is appointing me for such very important work.
Mm.
So this was one very touching incident. That
just to add to that, I happened to hear to that clip. I mean, listen to that clip in Telugu.
Mm.
I don't know how well my Telugu served me in understanding, but the end of that episode is how he narrates that he had taken a leave from his job and he had come.
Mm.
And he was very tensed because he had to go back. He was working in a private company and he could lose his job if he overstays and does not report on time. Mm. And that's why I think he goes and tells Swami, can I take your leave? Can I go? Because, you know, my leave is expiring.
Mm.
And Swami said, hey, keep quiet. I know when to let you go. I will tell you.
Mm.
So Swami made him stay one night extra.
Mm.
And the next morning he was supposed to report.
Mm-hmm.
So he thought, you know, I don't know what is going to happen. And I think early next morning, somebody comes and knocks his door.
Uh-huh.
And, sir, you're supposed to go to Bangalore, right? Uh-huh. Swami has sent me to take you.
Uh-huh.
So then he is very happy. He immediately gets dressed and he goes out. And there is this car which is waiting for him. So he gets into the car and they go immediately. And I think he reaches well in time to Bangalore. And the moment he reaches Bangalore, he asks the driver, so where are you heading to?
Mm.
You know, you've dropped me now, but which way are you going? And the driver said, no, I'm going back to Anantapur. So he said, but why did you come all the way? He said, no, Swami sent me to drop you. And, you know, he was so moved, as you were saying, that, you know, he came and he said, Swami, is there any electrical work I can do?
Mm.
Right? And Swami has inaugurated a campus.
Mm.
And he has had the president, the first lady and the first woman of the country as his guests.
Mm.
At such a time, Swami is thinking of a detail as small as this.
Yes.
And, you know, sending specifically a vehicle for this person, which probably, you know, will not get noted in history also. You know, we are talking about the inauguration. This person came, that person came. Swami materialized this. I mean, for Swami, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
You know, it really doesn't matter. He's doing, when he materialized a diamond ring for that VIP also, it was out of love. When he's sending a card for this, you know, so-called insignificant person, also he's doing it out of his love.
And one more touching thing, that our Kuppam Vijayamagaru, who has written Anyada Sharanam Nasti,
right,
all the listeners might be knowing her, she had narrated this very beautiful incident. July 7th, Swami had come to Puttaparthi.
Mm-hmm.
They were all in Parthi. Swami personally invited Kuppam Vijayamagaru and their family. Vijayamma, tomorrow there is a very grand opening in Anantapur for women's campus. You all should come and be present there. So then they all come. So as the opening, when V.V. Giri sir was opening, cutting the ribbon, they were all standing right to Girigaru. Then Swami immediately, he calls for all of them and tell them, Girigaru, these are all my old devotees. They are all very devoted to me. See, the way Swami introduced them to those VIPs is such a very heartening thing.
Mm.
Because to get the mark of a devotee from the Lord himself is what each and every one cherishes for.
Beautiful. I think there was another incident which you had shared about, because even now if you see that video, there was a huge pandal which was put up, a huge shamiana which was put up. I mean, even for today's standards, it's really, really large. And Swami wanted that everybody be seated comfortably under a shade.
Mm.
And there was a very interesting story about that also, right?
Yes. As Raman Rao Garu's father was made in charge of the construction, Raman Rao Garu sir was made in charge of all the seva activities, the seva dal.
Right.
So Swami had personally invited a team of seva dal, 20 members. This was in Hyderabad, when Swami went to Hyderabad after the World Conference in Bombay.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami inaugurated the Hyderabad Sevadal Group in 1968. So Swami invited them. So he appointed Raman Rao Garu sir to get 20 Sevadal members from Hyderabad.
Mm-hmm.
So they had booked a bus, and the condition that Swami had put was, see, the price of the bus ticket should not exceed 20 rupees. So because all of them are employed and they are struggling to earn.
Mm-hmm.
So they, how much of concern Swami has. So all those 20 Sevadal members come and they do their service. And when we come to the construction of this pandal,
mm-hmm.
how they put it up, Raman Rao Garu sir explains, see, when we got shamianas from the vendors, Swami was looking at those old shamianas and telling, see, we, when the president is coming, is this the way to put up a pandal? No, this is not the way. And he ordered for tons of cloth, it's himself.
Mm-hmm.
So they were all in varieties of colors, orange, all very favorite to Swami, orange, green, and all very sober colors.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami tells, stitch all of them together and make a pandal. And they erected 40 feet poles. And they worked for 11 continuous hours for putting up this entire this pandal
mm-hmm.
downstage.
Mm.
So what happens just the previous night at around 2 o'clock, there is a heavy downpour. And then the entire shamiana collapses. The entire pandal is down. And all the group of Sevadal members are wondering, what can we do now?
Mm.
There is not much time to...
more hours.
Any more hours. Then morning 5:30, Swami comes out fresh from his room and he asks all these Sevadal members, did you all have breakfast? He never even looks at those pandals.
Mm-hmm.
Swami tells, Swami, this pandal is down night, it rained heavily. No, it's okay, we can look at it later, but you all have your breakfast first.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami takes all the 20 of them to finish their breakfast. You won't believe, after the breakfast, continuously for 2 hours, Swami was monitoring what was happening. What was done in 11 hours, they could complete in 2 hours. They put the entire shamiana intact. And Raman Rao Garu sir was telling, that was the first time I was witnessing such a miracle. Because till then we knew about Swami's divinity. But what Swami's word can do, we had experienced it for the first time. And as all of you would see in the video, those beautiful pandals that were being put up. That was the effort of those 20 Sevadal members, which was amalgamated with Swami's love.
Even to think that only 20 people worked on it and put it up is amazing.
Hmm.
And to, you know, I think if Swami had done it only in the first instance and it was put up in 2 hours, maybe it would not have, you know, struck the people who were involved also.
Hmm.
When it took them 11 hours otherwise and then 2 hours, then they would have really known that, you know, what Swami can do.
Yeah.
And it's really, really beautiful. I think we'll take a quick break again, dear listeners. Don't go away. I think we'll have a few more beautiful stories to narrate before we conclude today's session.
Vasayandure, Jagamula nedi natakam.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We were talking about the interesting incident which happened during the inauguration of the building, that is 1971. We just mentioned how Swami had asked for some Sivadal to come and be part of the inauguration, and this beautiful incident about how the pandal was erected first in 11 hours and thereafter in 2 hours, you know, after Swami came and supervised. But there is more to even this story, or the people who had come. I think Ganesh, you should share that beautiful incident.
This is a wonderful incident because it teaches you that you should never ignore Swami's word or take Swami for granted. This is a very a lovely incident.
Mm-hmm.
So after the inauguration ceremony, Swami asked these members, Sevadal, 20 Sevadal members, how did you all come? They all replied, Swami, we came by bus. So then all of you come to Puttaparthi along with me. Then Swami started in car and they were following Swami in the bus. They were all going very, very silently. There was a railway gate in between on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami's car had stopped. Swami turned back and then he pointed towards his mouth. Don't you all, can't you all speak, can't you all sing?
Mm-hmm.
Start singing bhajan. So then they all start bhajan. And then after the gate, Swami comes inside, gets down his car and comes inside the bus. And Swami sits in one of the seats and then he starts asking the youth, the Sevadal members to sing bhajans.
Mm-hmm.
And halfway through, again Swami gets down and goes back into his car. So once they reach Prashantiralyam, Puttaparthi, their bus is stationed somewhere in the corner of the ashram. And they're all very, very tired. Swami retires. And the next morning, as you all know, the 20 days of hard work of the Sevadal members,
mm-hmm.
they all had blisters in their hand. All their hands were burning.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to take a break. And Raman Rao, sir, who was in charge for them, he thought, yeah, now work is not there anymore. I think we can leave. It's time for us to go. And Swami comes down for morning darshan. He asks all of them to shift some rocks, big rocks, from behind East Prashanti to somewhere behind South Prashanti.
Oh, no. Okay.
So then they were all very, very tired actually, but hesitatingly they had to finish the work and come back. So they're all seated in front of Swami. Swami asked the same question again. How did you all come? Then all the members were telling Swami by bus. Ah, that's what. How did you all come? Again and again, Swami was questioning them. And see, among these 20 people, there was one doubting Thomas. His name was Mr. Subramanyam, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like thinking, why Swami is asking, keep on asking the same question. Again and again, we are telling the same thing.
Mm.
So for the sixth or seventh time, Swami is asking, okay, who all came by bus, please raise your hands.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of them raised their hands. Except this Subramanyam. And to their utter astonishment, Swami tells, okay, put your hand down. So after Swami goes back, all of them look at their hands and there are no blisters in anyone's hand except the person who didn't lift the hand.
Mm-hmm.
That Subramanyam sir had to go through the entire process of healing of those blisters. Like that much of, see, the love of Swami and the power of Swami's word. Swami just had to think that all those blisters vanished from their hands.
I mean, absolutely. In the sense, you know, if you look at it, one thing is Swami himself involving in all of these activities, and the other thing is Swami giving the opportunity for all these people. In fact, you know, we have read in the Ramayana that after every day, after the war which was happening in Lanka, it seems Rama would come and he would call all the Vanaras and he would cure them of all their ailments. And many of them would even be resurrected.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We've heard of these things, that you do Swami's work, and it is not you doing Swami's work, but Swami giving you an opportunity to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get rewarded for that.
Yes.
You know, you're being rewarded for that. In fact, there's a very beautiful incident, not from a very recent time, which Brother Satyajit had narrated during one of the Sai Sanidhi meetings, programs that we had in Mandir.
Mm.
Very beautiful. Typically describes what Swami does with each one of us.
Mm.
You know? Swami had taken him for the first time to Kodaikanal, right? And Swami comes and asks him, and there was this ritual, you could say, literally, where whenever Swami would materialize a vibhuti for somebody or, you know, anybody in the crowd, students would walk up to Swami with a handkerchief in their hand, and they would give a piece of paper for to the person who received it, and handkerchief to Swami so that Swami can wipe his hand. So all students would be aware of this, and they would keep, you know, specially handkerchiefs for Swami. They would, I mean, that's a huge procedure. You clean it, and you you know, you iron it, and you put it in your pocket. So the moment you sense that Swami is going to materialize for somebody, you would be ready. You would run up to Swami. So in Kodaikanal this happened, and one boy came up to Swami and gave a handkerchief, and Swami looked at Brother Satyajit was there, and Swami said, "You don't have handkerchief?" So he said, "No, Swami, I don't have." Okay, and then Swami said, "Okay," and walked away. The next day a similar thing happened, and Swami materialized, and somebody else gave a handkerchief, and Swami said, "You don't have handkerchief?" He said, "No, Swami, I don't have." So then it struck him that when Swami asked him the previous day, "You don't have," which means you should have.
You should have.
So then he thought, okay, probably I should get. And then Swami, out of his love, Swami saying, "Hum deta hai, you can keep in your pocket."
You be ready.
Swami saying, "I will give you the handkerchief, you can keep in your pocket." And Swami saying, "When Swami asks, you can give."
You can give.
So he said, "Okay, Swami," and then Swami gave him a bunch of handkerchiefs. So he religiously put it in his luggage, and one handkerchief he kept in his pocket. So the day after that, again Swami comes and materializes. I think Swami didn't materialize. The other occasion when Swami would want a handkerchief is when Swami is wiping his face.
Okay.
You would see that Swami wipes face with the edge of his sleeve. Right? So Swami was wiping his face, and then Swami looked at Brother Satyajit, and Swami said, "You didn't give me handkerchief." So in his mind, you're saying, "But Swami, you didn't ask me." You said that only if you ask, you know, I should give. But you didn't ask me. So we said, "Bad boy." I gave you and still you're not giving it to me. So then he went away, and then he started thinking and said, okay, we should be aware when Swami would need, and then we should give. Swami will not physically, in words, ask, "Do this for me." In action, Swami will show that this is a time for you to, you know, offer it.
Offer.
So the next day, when Swami, the same thing scene happened, he came in front of Swami, and Swami was wiping his face. So he got up and gave the handkerchief. Swami was like, "Oh," almost a relief on Swami's face. "Good
now
boy,
you understand.
Finally you understood." Right? So you're saying that whole journey that you can give, and Swami saying, "I will give you, you give it to me when I ask." And then saying that, you know, it's not about me asking, you should be sensitive when Swami needs it and give. And then finally the good boy, and Swami says, gives the handkerchief back to him. And he says, when he puts it in his pocket, a watch slips out of that handkerchief. You know, in the meanwhile, Swami is materialized and it kind of slips out. So he's saying, see the learning process that Swami is taking us through. You know, we are so naive. We have no idea that this is an opportunity which can be grabbed and you can serve Swami. Swami hammers that idea into you. You know, Swami makes you do it. Swami appreciates you for it, and Swami also rewards you. Right? It's literally like that.
When you are telling this, Prem, the opportunity of serving Swami, I remember a very, very vivid incident which happened in Sai Kulwant Hall. Swami was sitting in the portico when the Vedam was going on. We happened to sit in the first few lines. One evening, a pigeon came and dropped a stick right in front of Swami. That was on the steps where students used to go and give letters to Swami. And Swami was like lost. He was looking at that twig and then looking here and there. Means he was expecting some student to come and pick it up. So none of them were going. It was almost 5 to 6 minutes that none of the students, all the students were looking at the twig and looking at Swami, looking at the twig, looking at Swami, but they're not going and picking up. After 6 minutes, a small sparrow comes. I think it's beyond its weight to lift that stick. It picks up that stick and flies back. And then Swami looks up at the sparrow, looks at the student, and he smiles. That conveys, that the smile conveyed a lot of message. Means when the opportunity is given, you should realize that it's for you, and you should grab it with both hands.
So, I mean, we had actually planned to share a lot of things, because apart from, of course, the inauguration of the campus, which is the most important thing, the other thing which we wanted to share with our listeners is about the many devotees whom we happened to meet when the Telugu team went around, especially in East Godavari.
East Godavari.
The Rajahmundry side where Swami had visited. You don't have much time, but still, I think with whatever time we have, I think you should tell us something about that visit and the people you met and the places which were literally blessed by Swami with his physical presence.
Sure, Prem. Actually, Swami started his visits of Rajahmundry around 1955-56, around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And there he used to visit only a few devotees' homes, like Nidamurthy Satyam Garu, then Dandamudi Ramarao Garu. These two were the very prominent devotees who used to take care of Swami.
Okay.
And the villages that we had visited during these trips were like Amalapuram, then Kotapadu, which is a very, very tiny hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Kakinada, and then we went to Rahulapalyam. All these villages were blessed by Swami's divine footprints, actually. So before I go to the devotees incident,
mm-hmm.
I want to tell about this beautiful hamlet, which is named Kotapadu.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very tiny village. I think there are around 250 homes in that village.
Okay, it's really small.
And very interesting fact is that as soon as you enter that village, you can see Swami's quotations being written on each and every home.
Beautiful.
Means you see all kinds of advertisements outside when you go to any place. But when you enter this village, you can feel Swami in that tiny hamlet. And every home, there is a bhajan being conducted every day.
Mm-hmm.
And for Swami's 90th birthday, they had a beautiful, stage that was put up in the center of the village,
mm-hmm.
where all the artists can perform, and they'll have a week-long celebration there for Swami's birthday. So, when we went and asked those villagers, two villagers we had interviewed, one was 85-year-old, one was 80-year-old. Both were hardly able to speak. But the moments that they were recollecting when Swami had come to their village, Swami came to that Kotapadu village at around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
They had prepared all the roads for Swami to come. One of the senior devotees told when Swami was in Kakinada, it's almost 15 kilometers away from Kakinada. Kakinada is the town port city.
Mm-hmm.
They told Swami there is no proper road to go to that village. And Swami closes his eyes and he tells the devotee, "Did you see? Did you go and see? We are going to that village." Mm-hmm. At evening 6 o'clock, Swami starts from there.
Mm-hmm.
And to the astonishment of all the other devotees, all the roads are laid properly for Swami. Imagine the love that those devotees had for the Lord. So Swami comes to the center of the village. There is a huge dvajastambham that was erected at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami stands on that and then delivers a 10-minute lecture there, discourse there. So after the discourse, all the crowds are like surrounding Swami.
Mm-hmm.
And in a flash, this is a very beautiful experience of the devotees there. In a flash, Swami was next to his car.
Mm-hmm.
As the devotees were surrounding him.
Mm.
So then Swami stands on his car and waves to all these devotees and then Swami leaves. Mm. So people cherish that one moment that Swami had spent in that village with all the grandeur and gaiety. And I was wondering, Swami had given us so much through the years. From maybe we joined in 99, both of us joined in 99 to 2018 is a gap of 19 years, Swami had given us so much. This was one 10-minute visit of Swami, and the entire village is transformed. And those two villagers tell, "Sir, Swami has done so much for our families. Swami gave darshan for us. We went to service to Prashant Thiralayam so many times after that visit of Swami."
Mm-hmm.
Every year they come for seva. And those two old people were like very overwhelmed that we are able to recollect those incidents and live those memories.
Mm.
And that's a very big eye-opener for all of us. And the huge letters that Swami is saying, sir, love all, serve all, and help ever, hurt never. Where the family is good, the entire world will be good. Mm. Such kind of, what do you call, sayings are written in big letters.
On each house.
Each house. And every evening, all the 250 members gather to have bhajan, 250 households.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a sort of like, as Swami tells, still the life of India is still in the villages. Mm-hmm. This is where we
is
have to...
Is that the same village where even the lanes are named after?
Yes, Kamavdani Road, then Isharamma Road, then Kuppa Bairagi Shastri Road, all the Kasturi Road, mm-hmm. all the lanes are named after Swami's devotees. And this is a must see for each and every devotee of Swami. To experience Swami's love, we have to go to these villages and interact with them. And the simplicity of those villages. So, this was one very interesting incident that I wanted to share to all. And the other thing which, Prem, you were asking about, the old devotees of Swami. Because the time is very short, I want to narrate one experience of a devotee. His name is Mr. Kuchi Veerabhadra Sharma.
Mm-hmm.
He is a Harikatha teller. And Harikatha is a format of telling mythological and social stories.
Bhagavatam.
Like a Bhagavatar kind of thing.
Mm.
So Swami, in 1959, when he comes to Amalapuram, he happens to meet this person.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very, very simple, humble man. He tells Harikatha and very poor background. So Swami asks him, what do you want? He is very, very overwhelmed by Swami's visit to the place and tells, Swami, I just want to fall at your feet and I want to tell one story for you. Then Swami invites him to Prashantrilyam.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he has nothing in his home to buy a ticket also. So, whatever they take for Kashi, there is one vessel called Maruchombu
mm-hmm.
that he sells. And whatever money he gets, he comes to Parthi. So, as soon as he visits, he's like in tattered clothes and Swami comes and hugs him with all the like sweat and all.
Mm-hmm.
Swami doesn't even bother to look at all those things
mm-hmm.
and tells Veerabhadra, Swami used to call him Bhadram.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bhadram Vachava, Swami used to call him. And then he asks him, this evening you tell Harikatha.
Mm-hmm.
So, as the Harikatha was being narrated, Swami stops in between. Bhadram, Venakira, come backstage. Then Veerabhadra sir is worried. Why Swami stopped my Harikatha in between? Is there any mistake that I committed? Swami takes him back and tells, see, you are telling such a pious story, but you are wearing such tattered clothes. It's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami gets him a silk dhoti, gives him, tells him, change into this dhoti, and then come on stage and tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
For the utter astonishment of all the audience, like he was changed in a minute actually.
Mm.
He comes and tells the story and forever he sacrificed his life to Swami, telling his glory. And his son, Mr. Kuchi Krishnaya, he tells that, see, more than my father, my mother is so devoted.
Mm-hmm.
She is a Devi Upasaka,
okay.
Illiterate lady. Once she comes to Prashantrilyam and the way he explains is so beautiful. There is something called a mango tree in a corner of Prashantrilyam and they all put up there
mm-hmm.
and on the small stove, kerosene stove, Swami likes this sort of, what do you call that, pesarapappu something, udaktaal or some dal.
Okay.
So Swami likes bondas with that kind of thing.
Okay.
So
okay.
Then she prepares and she goes and offers it to Swami in Swami's room.
Mm-hmm.
So, as she's a Devi Upasaka, as Swami is eating those, having those bondas,
mm-hmm.
she has Swami's darshan as Devi, Bala Tripura Sundari, and with the long hair
mm-hmm.
and with the beautiful, charming smile.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami is having that, and till Swami finishes those bondas, Swami gives darshan as Devi to this lady.
Mm-hmm.
And such simple devotees and such great love for the Lord that everyone has to experience and visit those places to have such a feeling.
I mean, I think even now when you visit some of these villages, they are still villages. You know,
yes, they
have not yet become towns. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine in the 50s and 60s when Swami would travel there. Mm-hmm. Now, today when we travel, we are so worried about bumpy roads. We are worried about where we'll stay. We are worried about, clean facilities for toilet and for staying and all of these things. The time when Swami was traveling, these were all nothing. And, you know, these were people who could give nothing to Swami. You know, even if they had to make a arrangement for Swami to stay, it would have been the same bed they would have been using.
Or a trunk box for Swami to sit.
To sit, nothing more than that. You know, none of this inhibited Swami from traveling to all of these places. I mean, it's so very moving. Swami tells in a discourse, you know, people nowadays travel all over the world, you know, because they know that they've set up an ashram, they've set up an institution, they need money. I mean, Swami spent all his time, many times devotees say, Swami is a very, very poor businessman.
Yeah.
Because his investments are so horrible in that sense. Because in the 60s and 70s, I mean, we are nobody to judge, but Swami had no idea of what is this going to give back to me? Will this benefit my organization in any way? All the 50s and 60s were spent like that, and came the 70s, came the colleges. Swami spent his time with us, you know, what could we give in return to Swami, literally. And Swami would say this, when I think one of our teachers had shared this. Swami asked, why do you think I'm spending so much time with you? You know, Swami asked a group of students, do you think that I'm doing this because your fathers are rich? Do you think I'm doing this because you will one day come back and give back to the organization that I've set up? Do you think I'm spending all this time because I'm looking at some benefit? Or do you distantly think that you deserve this? Swami said, all of that is nonsense. You know, I'm not doing it for anything. Swami said, every moment I spend with you, I'm thinking of what benefit the world will have because of me spending time with you. Because Swami is saying, I'm doing all this so that you will transform. You know, you will change your life. You will bring values to your life. And seeing you, others will transform. Swami said, there's nothing more in my mind. There's nothing more that I seek from all of you. And you can see this, you know, I mean, these people are really lost in that sense, that we don't look at them, but it doesn't matter, because Swami gave them, you know, as we always say, life is made of time. And to whom you give time, you give life. You know, Swami has given his avataric life to all of these people in spending. So hopefully in occasions in the future, we'll be able to share more of these beautiful stories of devotees who are really lost in time, whom Swami has given us the opportunity to look at and learn, because there's so much to learn. You know, there's infinite amount of devotion to learn from these people. So I think we'll conclude with that. Thank you, Ganesh. Thank you all of you
thank
for
you,
joining
Kim.
Us.
Thank you, listeners.
It was, and as always, so beautiful to recollect all of these stories. And we have to be eternally grateful to Swami for giving us this opportunity. I'm going to leave you with a very, very beautiful song sung by our sisters from the Anantapur campus. And hopefully if you follow Telugu, you'll be able to tune into the Telugu stream and listen to this live broadcast, which starts tomorrow. Even otherwise, 21st, they have a beautiful special program in the Mandir. You can listen to that and watch that on Radio Sai. We'll leave you with a song. On the other side of it, you'll be joined by Brother Chandu for the next episode of the day.
Original.